Hello, Dove and everyone. It's wonderful to be here, of course. And we're here today for Holy Spirit Guides, which means we are going through ReginaDawnAkers.com in chronological order and looking over everything the Holy Spirit shared with me to help me in the last 3 years. So let me give you the link so you can join me at ReginaDawnAkers. There's the link for ReginaDawnAkers.com. You don't have to go there, but some people like to read along with me, and everything that I will be reading will come from there. When you get to ReginaDawnAkers.com, on the right-hand side of the screen, you will see a menu, and you'll notice there's a lot of archives. You'll want to scroll down in the archives to January 2005. It will be near the bottom, January 2005, and click on that. And once you are in January 2005, the place that we left off was January 17th. So you'll want to scroll down on the page until you get to January 17th. It's about 4 messages down. And the name of the message on January 17th is Think of Me as the Part of You That Knows. And I remember when I wrote this message, I had listened to David Hoffmeister, I believe, on Pal Talk. It seems like he was probably teaching on a Pal Talk, maybe on a Sunday morning in January. And I asked him a question. It's probably my first or second time talking on Pal Talk. I wasn't yet teaching. And I remember even to ask a question, I used to get so nervous. And I would sit there in my chair, you know, knowing I'm going to ask a question, and I would be shaking. And then I would stick my hand up and waiting for them to call on me. I would be shaking. It was such a big deal. It's kind of funny now. Okay, I'm going to stop blabbing. I'm going to assume that if you want to be at January 17th, you're there. So what I'm going to do is first I'll read the question. So the question that I asked the Holy Spirit, this was a question to the Holy Spirit. Yesterday morning, I asked David Hoffmeister to listen to my process for forgiveness and let me know if he heard any ego in that process that I should be aware of. He didn't comment much on the process that I described. Instead, he seemed to comment on the fact that I depend on the process of, oops, something else to forgive, instead of making a decision at the beginning of the day to let Spirit decide for me. I know it is time for me to stop making my own decisions and let you make them for me, and I am willing. I just don't feel like I know how. Could you help me with that? So, you know, I had described to David a process that I used in the mind when I, you know, saw an error in the mind. You, typically, back then, it was a grievance with someone at work, and how I would then take the grievance, and at that time, I would, like, put it in a box and wrap it up in my mind, you know, and then hand it to the Holy Spirit as a gift and say, here, Holy Spirit, I don't want this anymore. I give it to you. And I would literally let the grievance go in that way. And when I described it to David, as it says here, you know, he didn't really comment on whether that was an effective forgiveness process or not. What he did do was tell me that what I could do instead of forgiving grievances after they happened is that I could make a decision at the beginning of the day to let the Holy Spirit make all decisions for me, and then the grievances would never occur. So again, I was using an oops, I have something else to forgive after the fact process, and David was suggesting that I make the decision up front so the grievances never occur in the first place. And I saw the value in that, but I had not a clue on how to do that, because, you know, the grievances just seemed to happen, right? They seemed so automatic at that time. So let's have a look at what Holy Spirit said to help me. Here's the Holy Spirit's answer to that question. First of all, You have to realize that you are not turning yourself over to another power. So what the Holy Spirit is doing already is commenting on something that was in my mind that was not in the question. Because, you know, Holy Spirit knows what's in my mind, whether I ask it or not. And it looks like the reason, the real reason I was not turning everything over to the Holy Spirit and just letting Holy Spirit make decisions for me is because I really didn't trust the Holy Spirit with my life. You know, I wanted to be making the decisions in my life. Right? I trusted me more than the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is really addressing that first. Since that's what's really keeping me from turning things over to the Holy Spirit, that's what we have to talk about. The fact that I don't trust the Holy Spirit. So again, with the answer. First of all, you have to realize that you are not turning yourself over to another power. I am yourself. Think of me as the part of you that knows. Think of me as the part of yourself that you can put confidence in. Don't think of it as putting your power outside of yourself. That scares you. And that isn't the case, so the fear is not justified. So again, we just kind of went right after that one. I was seeing this, you know, I trusted myself, and I saw it as taking, you know, taking the decision-making power away from the one that I trusted and giving it to this unknown that was outside of me. And notice how Holy Spirit, if you really look at how my mind was working at the time, this is really a perfect example of how Holy Spirit meets us right where we're at. Holy Spirit, of course, knew that I trusted myself, that I had a lot of confidence in myself. So notice how Holy Spirit uses that confidence I have in myself by saying, you know, I am yourself. Just think of me as the part of you that knows. Think of me as the part of you that you can put confidence in. So Holy Spirit is taking what I already have, which is confidence in myself, and simply shifting that a little. So you can see how Holy Spirit really is meeting me right where I'm at, taking what already you could say is a strength of mine, it's just kind of a slightly misplaced strength, and is shifting it just a little bit. So let's go on to the next paragraph. Start each day by remembering me as yourself. Think of the light that represents me for you, the light that is within. And imagine yourself talking to the light. So now Holy Spirit has given me a visual tool that I can do in the morning during meditation in order to really connect with this inner light that is me. And that is the Holy Spirit. Say to me, I know you are me. And I am in love with that idea. I want to remember it fully. Today, I choose to experience that remembrance by letting you lead. It's going to be fun to see what I can do when I let you lead and realize it's me. It's just a simple little visualization. Again, the Holy Spirit is working right with my mind, giving me exactly what I needed to help me shift that trust to that part of me that is the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read that paragraph one more time. And if you didn't the first time, you might want to kind of close your eyes and just imagine the visualization. Imagine talking to the light within and saying this. Start each day by remembering me as yourself. Think of the light that represents me for you, the light that is within. And imagine yourself talking to the light. Say to me, I know you are me, and I am in love with that idea. I want to remember it fully. Today, I choose to experience that remembrance by letting you lead. It's going to be fun to see what I can do when I let you lead and realize it's me. Isn't that a perfect attitude adjuster for in the morning? You know, just to really set me, you know, in my willingness to trust the light. Then Holy Spirit continues. Then, during the day, when you forget to let me decide and your old habits kick in, remember that they are nothing but old habits, and be willing to take your mistake lightly and choose again. We are simply changing habits. Now, what Holy Spirit is really doing in this paragraph is teaching me not to judge myself, because that would have been my natural tendency. I was probably somewhat of a perfectionist. And so if I set a goal in the morning of letting the Holy Spirit make my decisions for me all day, and then at some point in the day I forgot and I quickly made the decision on my own, I would then judge myself. I would be really mad at myself for not being perfect. So Holy Spirit knows that about me as well, and is nipping that in the bud right away by saying, you know, all we're doing is changing habits. And again, I was a professional trainer, so I knew, because I taught people to change habits all the time, I knew that when you want to change a habit, you don't just say, I'm going to change it and then have it change. You know, that takes practice and forgiveness of self and continuing to practice. But I also knew that if you continue to work on a habit, it will change, because habits are completely changeable. So Holy Spirit is taking this that's in my mind, the fact that I know a habit can change, it just takes consistent practice, and is using that to help me not judge myself when I forget and don't listen to the Holy Spirit. So again, starting with that third paragraph again. Then during the day, when you forget to let me decide and your old habits kick in, remember that they are nothing but old habits, and be willing to take your mistake lightly and choose again. We are simply changing habits. It's nothing more. And I'm certainly not going to condemn you for the learning process. And again, remember, I was a professional trainer, and I would never condemn any of my training participants for the learning process. And Holy Spirit knew that. So Holy Spirit said, I'm not going to condemn you, just like you don't condemn your students. You know, really meeting me right where I was at. I am certainly not going to condemn you for the learning process. I don't condemn you at all for anything. It is your own thoughts that you let condemn you. So let's talk about that. So now we're going to change subjects a little bit. While the Holy Spirit has my ear, the Holy Spirit is going to address something else that needs to be addressed. You have been telling yourself lately that fear cannot hurt you. That's good, but you need to think of it in a more general way. We are not talking about the fact that fear cannot hurt your body. Your body is an illusion. We are talking about the fact that your thoughts cannot hurt your mind. Your thoughts cannot take away your peace of mind or cause you to be anything but love. This is what you need to realize when you say to yourself, my fear cannot hurt me. And Steve and Lori were at reginadonacres.com. Now, this is something the Holy Spirit had told me in earlier communication, to remember that my fear could not hurt me. But what the Holy Spirit is pointing out is that the way I took that advice and used it was an error. Because when I was walking around saying to myself, my fear cannot hurt me, the word me was body. So I was thinking, you know, that my body is not, I may be scared, you know, goofy. I may be scared completely goofy, but my body's fine. I'm still just walking to the car here. I may be scared completely goofy, but my body's fine. I'm still just sitting here at my desk typing. And I was really focused on the body as I had that thought in my mind. So the Holy Spirit is telling me I need to shift that, because the Holy Spirit doesn't really want me associating the word me with the body and safety with the safety of the body. So the Holy Spirit is helping me to shift that so that I see me as mind. And what the Holy Spirit wants me to realize is that my fear cannot hurt my mind. Because if I can make that connection, it's going to be a lot easier for me to let my fear go. I was still letting the fear run amok in the mind, saying, look, my body's safe, I'm not bleeding, I may be scared crapless, but I'm not bleeding anywhere. And that's not really letting go of the fear. So Holy Spirit wants me to move that into the mind and say, this fear cannot hurt my mind. I can literally see this fear and feel peace at the same time. And I literally learned to do that. I learned to feel the fear, you could say, and be at peace with it. And be at peace with it. And this paragraph, this is how Holy Spirit is taking me there, by helping me shift this thought, my fear cannot hurt me, from my body to my mind. So let's go on to the next paragraph. To help generalize this more, maybe you should try saying, my thoughts cannot take away my peace of mind. So now that I'm not using the sentence that Holy Spirit originally gave me, you know, in my best interest, Holy Spirit has given me another sentence that might be more helpful. My thoughts cannot take away my peace of mind. It's okay to say anything else that is along that same line if it seems helpful to you in the moment. What you are remembering is that you are spirit mind. You can choose to accept thoughts or to let them go, but you cannot be hurt by thoughts. You especially cannot be hurt by thoughts you do not want. They do not have power over you, even though you believe they do. Give that belief to me, and when you do, give me your trust too. Start each day by remembering me and realize that you want that part of you, that part which is also me, to make the decisions. Expect to enjoy the experience. When other thoughts seem to come into your mind, remember that they cannot disturb your peace of mind. Acknowledge them without fear and let them go. I hope this helps. It will, if you will trust me. So, I mean, I'm just so in love with the Holy Spirit. It is, as you can see from the very beginning, such a gentle and loving guide. You know, and I'm really glad that we're going over these messages again. I'm just kind of in awe, in gratitude, looking at these messages again years later. I'm going to let go of the mic for a moment and see if anybody has anything they want to share before we move on to January 20th. All right, then. So let's move on to January 20th, 2005. Steve and Lori, how are you doing with the link? Did you find where we're at? We're at reginadonacres.com in January 2005. And now we're on the message that's dated January 20th. And the name of it is, Does My Father Love Me? And in this case, I was talking about my Heavenly Father. I had no doubt in my mind that my earthly father loved me. I've never doubted that. My dad is a very loving man, so there's never been any question in my mind about whether my parents loved me or not. But obviously there was a question in my mind about whether God loved me. So the question was, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. Now that's really interesting, because what this means is, in the moment that I wrote this, I was feeling so unloved that I wasn't even certain Holy Spirit was going to answer me. So I was feeling very cut off in this moment. So I'm saying, Holy Spirit, please speak to me. Does my Father love me? Let me hear your words, please. So feeling very cut off at this moment. I don't remember why. I don't remember what was going on, but I'm feeling very cut off. And I'm basically begging for a response. And look, yay, the Holy Spirit answered. But the Holy Spirit said, you don't trust that they are my words because you don't love yourself. So you know what I'm guessing here? I'm guessing that the Holy Spirit didn't start with this, just knowing me. I'm guessing the Holy Spirit started off answering the question, probably telling me that my father did love me and how much my father loved me. And I got afraid and thought that Regina was just saying that to Regina, that I was just making up my own answer. And I, you know, highlighted it and deleted it. I deleted the words right out of Word because I didn't trust it. So whatever the Holy Spirit said first was actually lost because of my fear. So now what the Holy Spirit is doing is addressing that. You don't trust that they are my words because you don't love yourself. Stop and look at who you are. You are me. If you see yourself as me, don't you love yourself then? And would you doubt that your Father loves you also? So as you can see what was going on in my mind, I was feeling so cut off and so unloved in that moment that, again, when the words of love started coming through, I couldn't believe them, and so I deleted them. And what Holy Spirit is pointing out is the reason I wasn't believing them and the reason I wasn't trusting them. See, I was looking at Regina, the illusion, and thinking that that was me. And I was looking at what I perceived as all of her faults and all of her unworthiness. And I was saying, how could God love that? These words of love that I'm hearing can't be true. And Holy Spirit's pointing out that I'm the one that doesn't love that illusion. But then again, Holy Spirit is shifting. Instead of trying to convince me that God loves an illusion, which of course would be an error, because as we know, God does not love an illusion. God loves our truth. So instead of trying to convince me that God loves an illusion, the Holy Spirit is helping me shift my identity of myself. Instead of saying, yes, God loves Regina, the Holy Spirit is saying, you are not Regina, you are me. And then, can't you see clearly how God loves me? And that's what you are. So, Holy Spirit is shifting my perception of who I am. And of course, I love the Holy Spirit. I just got done expressing to you all from that last message. I said, don't you just love that Holy Spirit? Or I really love that Holy Spirit, whatever I said. I love the Holy Spirit. So as I shift my identity from the illusion to the Holy Spirit, well, of course my Father loves me. That becomes crystal clear. So again, the Holy Spirit says, if you see yourself as me, don't you love yourself then? And would you doubt that your Father loves you also? You think he does not love you because you believe that you are an illusion of yourself. You do not love the illusion, so you think he could not love the illusion either. But it is mere illusion. It is not you. It is nothing to love or not love. Your Father loves you. You love you because I am you. Look at your true self and you will see that you are innocent. You are light. You are love and you are loved. You could be nothing else. And it's almost funny to me now, that I didn't know that this voice that I was talking to was me. And the reason I say it's almost funny now is because the voice was in my own mind. It's not like there was another body sitting there talking to me. If there had been another body sitting there talking to me, I can see why I would maybe think that wasn't me. But this was in my own mind. This was coming from my own heart. And yet, I was still so disapproving of myself that I could not believe that that was me. Since then, I've done a lot more merging with the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt in my mind that when the Holy Spirit speaks, that is my truth speaking. I no longer doubt that at all. But at this time, I did. And so you can see Holy Spirit is helping me to make that shift, to shift my mind away from thinking that I am this illusionary person in my mind, this bundle of unworthiness, shifting my mind to seeing the love that is my truth, the love that is in my mind, and helping me to identify with that. So any comments or questions? All right, then, let's move up to Tuesday, January 25th, 2005. This is called The I That I Think I Am. And I don't remember this at all. Maybe I will as we start reading it. But I do want to tell you something before I move forward. Lots of times during meditation, the Holy Spirit would just start talking to me without me asking a question or anything and would give me a thought that I knew it wanted me to study all day. Lots of times they went hand in hand with my workbook lesson for the day, and I would study it on the hour or every 15 minutes or whatever my workbook lesson was for the day, right along with my workbook lesson for the day. So this looks like this may have been one of those thoughts because it's in I language. It was probably a thought the Holy Spirit gave me for the day. The I that I think I am was made by the thought of separation. I am a product of that thought, and therefore, thoughts of separation seem to be my thoughts. Although the thought of separation is my source, it is not my original source. For before the thought of separation, there was and is one. Just as the thoughts of my source are in my mind, the thoughts of my original or true source are in my mind. When I forgive the thoughts of separation, I am returning to my original source, which is the truth of my origin and my being. So again, what the Holy Spirit is doing is giving me this thought, meeting me where I was at the time, and trying to help me to shift my identity. Because again, at this time, I fully saw myself as this person named Regina, and there were a lot of unworthiness thoughts, self-hatred thoughts, fear thoughts in my mind, and I wholly believed those thoughts. And Holy Spirit is helping me to shift. So instead of saying, you are not that, because that almost would have been too much of a reach for me, because I really believed I was that. So Holy Spirit is saying, you are not that, because that was just too big of a step. Holy Spirit's saying, okay, you know, you are the child of the thought of separation. That's why those thoughts are in your mind. But, you know, if you look at a family tree, that thought was born out of something else, and it came out of, you know, pure light. Pure light existed first, then the thought of separation, then you, okay? So you don't have just these thoughts of separation in your mind. You also have the thoughts from the original source on up the tree. That's in your mind too. And really what we want to do is we want to get rid of these thoughts of separation through forgiveness. Then all that will be left is the original source. So that's kind of the picture that Holy Spirit is drawing for me. It is a symbol, of course, but it was a symbol that was very helpful, because just to tell me you are not what you think you are didn't work, because I believed it way too much. So the Holy Spirit had to kind of draw a map for me and say, okay, you're that, but you're this too. Okay, you're both. So let's just get rid of that part, the ego part, which you know you aren't enjoying. And when we get rid of that part of what you are, all that will be left is the Holy Spirit or the light. And so that seemed to really work for me. It's a symbol, it's a stepping stone. But it was a very useful one, to be honest. I remember actually using this thought for months. And it helped me to understand the practice of forgiveness, because it helped me to see that when I was believing fear thoughts or unworthiness thoughts or self-hatred thoughts, that what I really wanted, I knew my true desire, what I really wanted was to be just the light. And that if I was going to continue to believe those thoughts, I couldn't be just the light. So this helped me to understand I had to let go of that source with the little s. I had to let go of that part of who I was. And then all that would be left would be the light, or the source that I truly wanted to identify with. So the I that I think I am is the name of that. Any comments or questions on that writing? All right, then. That takes us up to January 30th, 2005. How can I let go of fear? It looks like this is probably about the second time I'm asking about fear. And again, just in case you weren't here last week, what's going on in my life now is this is around the time where the Holy Spirit provided guidance in my mind, asking me to leave my job and leave my home and become the caretaker of the Foundation for the Awakening Mind. And by January 30th, I had told David Hoffmeister that. It seems like it was near the end of January, around the 25th or the 26th or so, that I finally emailed him and let him know that I had guidance to become the caretaker. So by now, he knows that. And so the fear is really beginning to bubble up, because now I've said it out loud to another person. I've kind of, you know, made a commitment that I'm going to do this. So the fear is really starting to get even more intense than it was before, when I was just considering, should I say yes to this guidance? So, the question, Spirit, I know that it is not my Father's plan for me to suffer. Notice how strong my fear was. I'm actually describing it as suffering. And there was so much fear. I think I told you all last week, I couldn't even begin to describe it. I literally could not begin to describe how afraid I was. I truly felt like I was about to step off the edge of a cliff. And I had no idea if there was going to be anything there to catch me or not. I was terrified. And again, I'm not quite sure why I kept walking forward, except to say that the true desire must have been stronger than the fear, even though the fear felt strongest at the time, because I kept walking anyway. But the fear is so strong, I'm describing it as suffering. And again, the suffering seems to be coming about because I'm making the choice to follow guidance. It seems like that it's the decision to, you know, do what I'm being asked to do by the Holy Spirit that is causing the fear. And so this isn't making sense to me, you know. This can't be what God wants for me to suffer like this. You know, it wasn't even making sense. So again, back to the question. I know that it is not my Father's plan for me to suffer. How can I let go of this fear and feel my true presence, which is inclusive love? Answer. Your first step is already in place. Be willing to let go of the fear without believing it to be true or a warning of truth. Now, again, I told you all that I felt like I was about to step off of a cliff. And, you know, what that really means is into some kind of disastrous situation, although I could have described for you what it was. Certainly financial ruin would have been a part of it. a very unhappy child, and, you know, would have been a part of it. And so, you know, there was a part of me that believed that my fear was really kind of a safety net. My fear was trying to warn me that I was about to do something stupid. My fear, I believed, was trying to stop me from making a stupid mistake. And so what the Holy Spirit is saying here, you got to be willing to see that your fear is not a warning of truth. Your fear is not protecting you from making a stupid mistake. You have to be willing to see that that is not true. That's not what fear is. Fear is not there to keep you secure. Because in my mind, I really believed it was. I believed that fear let me know which way I should not go. And if fear was telling me that I should not go this way of following guidance, then maybe I was about to make the biggest mistake of my life. Okay? So your first step is already in place. Be willing to let go of the fear without believing it to be true or a warning of truth. Realize that the fear will pass and peace is inevitable. All that you seek is inevitable. Don't be afraid to go about your day and think of me often. Now I remember this day specifically. This was a day that Jasmine and I were going to go shopping because, you know, she was growing like a weed and she needed a new wardrobe. And I remember I was so overcome by fear, I didn't even know if I should attempt normal activities like that, you know, or should I just sit in meditation all day? Holy Spirit's telling me to go ahead and go shopping is really what the Holy Spirit's saying here. Go, you know, don't let this fear stop you. Go shopping. So do not be afraid to go about your day and think of me often. Sitting in the fear is not helpful. You will release it by not letting it keep you from what you would normally do today. So, as I told you before, say hello to it and hand it to me. Give me your trust and go about your day. I love you. And you are fine. And that is what I did. And we did go shopping. I still remember being in the dressing rooms, watching her change clothes, you know, just shaking with fear, but continually trusting the Holy Spirit and, you know, trying to let it go. Quite a challenge, to be honest, at that point, letting go of the fear. But again, I'm grateful to the Holy Spirit leading me in my mind. Again, the Holy Spirit is helping me to shift my identity. So this was the purpose of this prayer. Let me identify with love. Let me be love. Let me know love as myself. Amen. So a real short, a real simple prayer that the Holy Spirit gave me, which I could, you know, really say as an expression of my willingness to shift that identity and to begin to see myself differently. Again, I'll just say it one more time because it's real brief. Let me identify with love. Let me be love. Let me know love as myself. Amen. And then the next thing that was written in February was Tuesday, February 8th, 2005. It is called What Choice Is That? It's real brief, so let me read it to you, and then I'll talk about it. It's another thought for the day that the Holy Spirit gave me. I may think that I have a choice, but that is a delusion. I cannot choose who I am. Accepting who I am ends the conflict of choice. I cannot choose who others are. Anything that I think I perceive on which to make such a judgment is illusion. Choosing to let the illusion go is the only choice I need make, and that is to choose truth over delusion. What choice is that? And this was, a very powerful message for me. You know, every one of these messages, I think, in some way or another, shifted my mind. So we could literally call every one of these miracles. You know, just day by day, shift by shift, this is how my mind has been transformed. But as you already know, one thing the Holy Spirit is helping me with is to shift my identity. Somewhere in my mind at that time, in fact, at the foremost of my mind at that time, I felt like I had a choice about that. I felt like I could choose what I was. Not just how to see it, but what I was. I thought I could choose to be Regina, or I could choose to let myself be love. But I felt like it was a choice. And what the Holy Spirit is really shifting my mind here, the Holy Spirit is shifting me to let go of the idea that there is even a choice here. What the Holy Spirit is trying to say is, you are what you are. There's no choice about that. Your truth is your truth. You are love. There is no choice. And your brothers are the same. There is no choice. There is no choice about what you are. Because if the Holy Spirit can get me to really see there is no choice, then of course, once I see the inevitability of it, I am going to allow my mind to be shifted much faster. But as long as I think I have a choice, it leaves me there wondering, what do I want? Hello, Jasmine. So again, what choice is that? The Holy Spirit is pointing out to me, if what I think I'm choosing between, one is truth and the other is just something that I'm making up in my mind, the Holy Spirit's trying to appeal to my logic. Is that really a choice at all, Regina? I mean, if it's a complete delusion, something you're making up, or truth, I mean, can you really even call that a choice? And I saw the logic in that. So again, that helped me with a shift, because if I didn't really have a choice, then I didn't need to consider whether I wanted to make the decision or not. It is just done. Now, that doesn't mean that that was the day that I began to see myself differently, but this shift definitely helped me make it to that point of seeing myself differently. So that is the what choice is that communication. Looks like the next one is a little longer. So before we, a whole lot longer. Oh, the ego is not the devil. It's my favorite, though. So before we start on the ego is not the devil from February 13th, any comments from anyone? Okay, I noticed Dortha saying she loves this one, too. Yeah, this is a really good one. This was my first long writing with the Holy Spirit, and again, what led up to this particular writing was still that same fear about leaving my job and going to work with David and be the caretaker of the foundation for the Holy Spirit. Just so much fear. Like I said, you really can't even describe it. If you've been there, if you've felt it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't been there yet, you really probably don't know what I'm talking about. But fear that would just wake me up at night and not let me go back to sleep. Gripping fear that I thought I might even die from. I'm one reason I love The Ego Is Not the Devil is because this is the writing that seemed to pop me out of that fear, at least for a couple of months. It came back later, but for the most part, it popped me right out of that fear, which I've been walking around feeling pretty consistently for about 2 months now, because the fear first started coming in mid-December when the Holy Spirit asked me to make this change in my life. So I've been living with this fear for 2 months, and this writing is the one that popped me out. And I think that one reason the fear was so strong is I really did see the ego as the devil, or the fear as something real. I mean, when I would be laying in bed with that gripping fear, it felt like a devil was beating down on my mind. It felt like there was something there separate from me, fighting me every step of the way, that even though I wanted to take these steps with the Holy Spirit in joy, this devil wouldn't let me, and it just kept torturing me with all of these fear thoughts. So that's really how I felt. So because it felt like a real character, you know, something out, something that was attacking me, well, that's kind of sets it up for where this writing came from. So let's go into this writing, but it's a beautiful one. The Holy Spirit starts right off. The ego is not the devil. It isn't a force outside of you that finds pleasure in deceiving you. It isn't anything to struggle against or to fear, although it can feel as if it is. The ego is a mistake that you believe in. The power of belief is undeniable. What you believe is real for you. Since you believe in separateness and attack, the world seems threatening to you. That is what you believe. That is what you experience. And that is what you fear. The experience of a threatening world seems real to you. And I don't ask you to deny that seeming reality. I don't ask you to step in front of a moving car and trust that it will not hit you, because it may. It would be dependent on the alertness and the reaction of the driver behind the wheel. In this way, the world is real. So what the Holy Spirit here is addressing, confusion that was in my mind. This was confusion that came from studying A Course in Miracles, but not having the clarity of the Holy Spirit with me all of the time when I studied. And as you all know, A Course in Miracles teaches that the world is not real. And probably, as you know from your own experience, I would imagine we all go through this, there comes a point when that gets confused in the mind where, well, if it's not real, you know, what does that mean? Does that mean that, you know, like it says, that I don't have to look both ways before I cross the street, that I don't have to pay my taxes, that I, you know, what does that mean? You know, does anything matter if the world's not real? I mean, it's kind of that confusion. So the Holy Spirit, first of all, is just addressing that confusion, saying, you know, if you step out in front of a car, you're probably going to get hit. Okay, so let's not get ridiculous about this. You know, so in that way, the world is real. You'll get hit. It'll hurt, you know, you'll have that entire experience if you decide to do that. So that experience you will have, and it will feel real to you, okay? But now here's where the Holy Spirit goes. What I ask you to understand is that the reality comes from the belief. So really what the Holy Spirit is beginning to address here is cause and effect. This is really what the Holy Spirit is going to address. The reality that you seem to experience comes from the belief. So the belief was first. The belief is the cause of all that you experience. You make the world that you experience. Now you may ask, and in fact I probably was, if I change my belief about the world, will I see no more sickness, no more war, and no more threat? I've answered this for you in many ways, but I will put the answers together for you now so you may see what seems to be pieces as a whole. Now, this is another common confusion that I know course students experience, because many have expressed this confusion to me. If I am the maker of the world, if I allow my mind to be healed, does that mean that I will literally see a world without war, you know, without violence, without crime? You know, will everybody that I meet be happy and loving? You know, will there be no more ego in the world? So that's the question in the mind. And so this is what the Holy Spirit is going to address. And notice the very first sentence that the Holy Spirit says, you are not an individual. And the reason that sentence is first is because that confusion still comes from believing that I am an individual. If I believe as an individual I am the maker of the world, then I think that when Regina's mind is healed, the whole world will change. And what that's not paying attention to is the fact that the mind that made the world is not the mind of a seeming individual. It's the whole mind, or from our perspective, you know, sometimes people call it the collective mind, although collective is obviously a symbol, but it's the whole mind that makes the world. So if one aspect of that mind is healed, the world itself doesn't change. There is still war, there is still violence, there are still people listening to the ego. But of course, the one who has the healed mind is going to see all of that differently, because the one will see it from a perspective that reflects truth. But it's still there. The form does not change. So this is what the Holy Spirit is going into. So let's look at this. You are not an individual. Everyone that you experience in the world is a part of you. You are aspects of one mind. When I say that the world you experience is made by you, I am not referring to you as an individual. That would indicate that separateness is truth. When I say that the world you experience is made by you, I am referring to all aspects of the mind that believe in separateness. As one aspect of the mind lets go of the belief in separateness, more light is brought into the whole mind. It helps to rouse the sonship. But as the sonship continues to sleep, nightmares of separateness continue in the world. When I indicate that what you will see will change, the word see and the word perceive are synonymous. As long as you see a world, you perceive. I am not saying that a violent crime could occur around you and that others would see it and you would not. The body's eyes will continue to show you the seeming actions within the world of illusion. When I say you will see differently, I mean that you will perceive differently, or to be even more clear, that you will feel differently about what you see. Did you hear that? You will feel differently about what you see. Your perspective will be different. Your feelings will be different, and therefore your action will be different. Remember the story of Jesus and the adulteress. Jesus saw the men that were preparing to stone this woman, and he saw a woman who had seemingly broken the laws of Moses. His eyes did not show him anything different. But Jesus did feel differently about what he saw. He saw the woman as innocent, and he saw the men as innocent. So he did not condemn the woman, and he did not condemn the men. He acted in a way that was consistent with his perception, and it caused a change in events. So again, the Holy Spirit is really addressing that confusion, that if I heal my mind, again, speaking, using the word my to be a seeming individual, that the whole world of form is going to change. And Holy Spirit is saying, no, that's not the case, because the entire mind is not yet healed. The wholeness of the mind is not yet healed. There's still a lot of aspects that are listening to the ego. So you're still going to see the reflection of that in the world. But you are going to feel differently about what you see. You're going to feel differently about what you see. And therefore, your actions within the world are going to be different. Peace Pilgrim also has many stories that demonstrate that her eyes showed seemingly dangerous situations, but her perception showed only a call for love. Because she consistently reacted with love, it caused a turn of events based on the introduction of light into the situation. Now, this is very interesting because we talk about the script, and I'm not going to get into that too much now, but we talk about the script of the world. And I think some people imagine that script as a linear script that never changes. And what the Holy Spirit is saying here is that is not the case, that as you heal your mind, and as you see what's happening in the world, and you are there as a presence who feels differently about that, and therefore reacts differently about that, the events can change. And he's giving examples of, you know, when a woman was not stoned to death because of Jesus' presence. And then he's bringing back to my mind many examples that are in Peace Pilgrim's book about when she was there, like one time a man did not beat a little girl because of her presence. She is saying that as you accept this light into your mind and as you perceive through the light, it can cause change within the world. You're not going to see the whole world change, but there will be change affected. So this is what the Holy Spirit is pointing out to me. And then he continues, on what seems to be a micro level, an introduction of light into a seemingly dark situation can change the events as they were about to occur. This may appear to be a miracle of events, but it is not. It is light within an aspect of the mind, shining away darkness within the same mind, resulting in a change of form. The cause is in the mind. The results seem to be evidenced in form. So what the Holy Spirit is explaining is that light is expanding within the mind, and that's what's causing the change of events. That always the mind is cause. Always the mind is cause. But as our light shines, and it seems to be picked up and willingly accepted, and the light expands, then that results in a change of events within the world, because the world is a reflection of our mind. The same miracle can occur on what seems to be a macro level. This may look different in the world of form. It may seem that it takes involvement from more individuals in order to introduce lasting peace into the international situation. But if you remember that there are no individuals, you will see that it is the same cause and effect. It's just more light in the mind. Therefore, it causes a greater reflection within the world. Just like a big flashlight has a bigger reflection than a pin light, right? So the individual is like a pin light. It can cause a bit of a reflection change. But more light will cause more of a light reflection change within the world. I've told you before that your only responsibility is to accept the atonement for yourself. Now you must see how important it is that you let the light come into awareness in your mind. You must also see how you do this on behalf of all of your brothers. Light within the mind is light within the mind, and the entire mind benefits from the shining of that light. There can be no exceptions. I see that you are willing to do this for your brothers. I see that you are willing to let your perspective be changed from that of a seeming individual to oneness. But you are finding it difficult. You are experiencing fear, and you don't know what to believe. You aren't certain what is truth and what is illusion. Even as you sit writing this with me, you wonder if you are making this up or if you are hearing the voice for God, and you don't know how to be sure. I will tell you how to be sure. I've told you this before. Pay attention to how you feel. Let the feelings of light guide you. Do what you are told to do while you feel those feelings. When the feelings of darkness are upon you, take no action. Spend that time giving the feelings over to me. If you act with the light and refrain from acting with the darkness, you will be acting in accordance with truth and light, and you will be moving steadily along the path to enlightenment. That is some of the best advice the Holy Spirit ever gave me. And I use it consistently. Whenever I'm feeling peace and joy, whatever comes into my mind to do, I do it and I trust it. Because if I'm feeling peace and joy, those are the feelings of light. And I just trust whatever comes into my mind. But if I'm not feeling peace and joy, if I'm afraid or worried, then the thoughts that come into my mind to try and fix that situation so that I'm not afraid or worried, I don't listen to them. I do not listen to the thoughts that come into my mind when I'm afraid or worried or feeling guilty or unworthy. I don't trust those thoughts because, you know, clearly I'm listening to the ego, or I wouldn't be feeling afraid or worried or unworthy or guilty. So I see the thoughts and I let them go. When I'm feeling the feelings of darkness, I do nothing but concentrate on letting that go. When I'm feeling the feelings of light again, peace and joy, I do whatever comes into my mind. And Holy Spirit says, if you just do that, trust your feelings, you're going to be walking steadily along the path to enlightenment. When you're feeling the feelings of light, do whatever comes into your mind. When you're feeling the feelings of darkness, make no decisions, take no action, simply focus on letting those thoughts and feelings go. Best advice I ever got from the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe not the best, but most practical. How's that? Most practical advice I ever got. Very, very useful. Know also that the end of this path is certain, and enlightenment is a reasonable goal, since it is the only goal that can truly be obtained. However, don't crave the goal so much that it becomes an individual desire. That will delay the result, since the cause of enlightenment can never be the desire to attain for the individual. And of course, that makes perfect sense, since it's individual will that we are actually letting go to and surrendering to our oneness or our one will, which we also call the Holy Spirit. So there's no way that surrender will occur if I have the individual will to be enlightened. So that's what the Holy Spirit is pointing out. Not to crave the enlightenment. Really what we want to do is follow the true desire of our heart, the desire to serve, the desire to surrender. And that will actually carry us into enlightenment. But we cannot crave the enlightenment itself. The ego is nothing but a belief in your mind. When the belief is gone, you will see that the ego was nothing. And I understand that now, because there are many beliefs that I have let go of that at one time I thought were much more than beliefs. I thought they were facts, they were situations, they were the way it was. But since I have let them go, for example, the belief in betrayal, I realize now that all it was a belief in my mind, and that I was looking at things through the filter of that belief. So I know now that as we let go of beliefs, we see that they never were anything. And that includes the belief in separation. So that's it for today. It looks like we're even went 5 minutes over. We're out of time. So next week we will begin with February 16th. So I love you all very much. Thanks for coming and sharing with me, joining with me as I share, I guess. And I'll be back Thursday at 1 o'clock for the NTI study group. Bye.